There's this myth that to be an artist, you must struggle. I'm here to tell you that that's not true. This is a podcast for people who are looking to realign with their inspiration and intuition. We chat with industry professionals about everything from their spiritual experiences to the everyday practices that help them stay energetically and mentally in tune. My name is Madeline Corliss. I'm the creator of The Energy Studio. Welcome to The Energy Studio Podcast. If you work in a creative career, I want to let you know about my course, Unblock Your Creative Career. Unblock Your Creative Career is a 9-week intensive that combines psychology, industry knowledge, and energy healing to help you realign and thrive as a creative being. For more information about Unblock Your Creative Career, check out my website, the-energy-studio.com. Hello, today we are talking with Kristen Ciccolini, also known as Good Witch Kitchen on Instagram, and we are talking all about cycle syncing and how it lines up with the lunar cycle and our creative cycle. This is something that I have recently been learning about, and my mind is truly blown that it has taken me this long to discover that my own hormonal cycle can actually be used as a superpower, and there are ways to honor it to support my life instead of thinking of it as a downfall of being a female. Get ready. This conversation is awesome. Let's go. Amazing. So I guess my first question is, how did you get into cyclical nutrition and spirituality?
Well, so I've been working with the moon for a few years as part of my spiritual practice, mm-hmm. which developed into what it is now over probably the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. My best friend and I, we would do regular tarot readings and working with crystals and all that fun stuff. And she was the only person I knew who shared that interest. Mm-hmm. But over the last few years, as it's kind of gotten more mainstream and popular, I definitely found a community of people online, people who were very open about their practices. And so that kind of like opened up a whole new world for me spiritually, because I finally had more people to talk to and learn from and share with. And one of the things I found was Sarah Faith Gottesdiener, her Many Moons workbooks. Do you know about those?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well, so she publishes them as planners now, which I'm obsessed with. But before it was a planner, it was a workbook that had tarot prompts and ritual suggestions, self-care ideas, journal prompts, all using the phases of the moon as a guide to help you get more in touch with your intuition. And I found this amid my career change into nutrition. And then a couple of years later, I discovered intuitive eating. I found Gabrielle Lichterman, who I think she pioneered the whole cycle syncing movement. I found Alyssa Vitti, who wrote the book Woman Code. Yeah. All those pieces kind of came together naturally. And as I started working with the menstrual cycle, I realized the phases were similar to the lunar cycle. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of merged them together. And I'm sure I'm not the first to come up with that concept, but it was one I was drawn to for sure. Mm-hmm. And so in that process, I started learning and researching and about how I could apply my nutrition knowledge to the phases of each cycle.
I love that. And I think it's so important. I have a friend who, she's actually the one who recommended that I reach out to you. And I had never even thought to pay attention to my own cycle and let that start to dictate some of my life choices. And the first time I started to actually look at these things, I was like, oh my God, like this actually has a huge impact on my life. And
yeah,
it's so amazing to me that it's taken this long for somebody to be like, you should maybe pay attention to that. Like it drastically affects your day-to-day living. And, which is why I was like, I have to do a podcast about this, because I think, especially people who are in creative industries, we don't account for what our hormones are doing when it comes to things like motivation or even, exercise. I've been recently tracking my exercise and syncing it with my cycle, and like the difference between what I'm able to do even day to day based on where I am is insane to me. So I just think this is so important. And I am so grateful that people like you are doing this work, because I think it's something that's been missing in our female knowledge. Why do you think that honoring your cycle and the phases of the moon and just the cycles of the world in general is important.
Well, because the world isn't set up for us, basically. But I just want to go back to what you said about exercise. That's a really important point, is that, you know, if you don't feel a certain exercise one day, like a lot of people stick to specific workout routines, mm-hmm. and then they get down on themselves when they can't perform at the same level every single day. And it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Something's wrong with me, but it's not, you know?
Yeah.
But these things like diets and workout routines, you know, that's not set up for us either. Really, it doesn't really take our cycles into consideration. So with these things and with so many other things, we're resisting our cycles every single day. And the way I like to talk about it is solar and lunar. Mm-hmm. So people assigned male at birth who have that hormonal cycle, their hormones fluctuate over the course of 24 hours. So just like the sun rises and sets. So they have the same kind of curve day after day. Mm-hmm. And then those who menstruate, or what I like to refer to as lunar bodies, are over the course of 28 days, roughly. So it's just, we like to say 28 to make it like neat and tidy, but obviously not everyone has that, but it more follows the lunar cycle. So we're not necessarily able to fit neatly within that capitalist requirement of putting out the same work every day at the same times, at the same energy levels, and be super productive every single day. But like you were just saying, like most people don't know that. So they try to do that. And what happens is it creates that frustration, it creates mental stress and then physical stress. And that leads to issues with hormones, difficult PMS symptoms, painful periods, all these things that we're told are normal, but actually aren't. So honoring your cycle, basically it means understanding the four phases of your cycle, their general energies, how it applies to your specific rhythms, because there's a framework for it. There's like a concept for it, but everyone's different. So you can take what you will from that. And it's just giving yourself what you need each day, like you said, with the exercise. So rather than trying to copy and paste yourself and be the same person every day, it just feels so much better to let your body lead. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like you're banging your head against the wall. Like if you wake up and you feel incredible and you feel energized, so that's a great day to go be social, do that high intensity workout. And if you feel like you just kind of want to hide under a blanket and nap all day, like honor that, you know, it's when we fight those feelings that things feel so difficult. And of course, not everyone is able to adjust their schedule based on their cycle, but doing it where you can makes things easier. And leaning into those hormonal changes from day to day and phase to phase helps take down that physical stress. And stress is such a huge contributor to hormone issues and period problems. So if once you start, you'll find that honoring your cycle in this way really makes things just so much easier.
Yeah. I'm tracking my cycle right now and I'm about to hit 1 month and I'm like totally nerding out being like, oh my God, I'm about to start to be able to look at it and see what's consistent and like what's
not. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm being like such a total nerd about it, but I'm like, I'm so excited for next week.
Yeah, it's fun to see those patterns in yourself and to just learn more about your own body, because you can read as much as you want to, but once you start doing, it's like I look at it like a little experiment pretty much. You're finding something new about yourself every day pretty much.
Yeah, well, and it's so interesting because I just knowing myself before the pandemic when I was working and out auditioning every day, and I very much did have to follow that 24-hour cycle because that's how my world was set up. I would see something like just like mindfully tracking every day. And I honestly probably wouldn't have put in the effort because there was that sense of like, well, I can't do it. Like I can't change anything about it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the blessings of the pandemic for a lot of people has been that there is that time to start picking up new hobbies or discovering things about yourself. Because I remember the reason I really started looking at it is because over probably about 3 months, I started to recognize that there'd be like 1 week in the month where I was feeling really energetically low and I just like couldn't focus. And then there'd be one where I was like in hyperdrive and like doing everything for my business. And finally the pieces fell into place and I was like, oh, I bet this is hormonal. Interesting. But like, it took me a good 3 months to be like, oh wait, this is a pattern and this is consistent, which means that like something inside of me is consistent. I just think it's also fascinating. So something that you said was our world is like not designed for us right now. I am hoping for a change. But can you talk about how, or I guess elaborate a little bit on how things have been set up in a way that's not supportive to our cycle and how we can start to support ourselves?
Yeah. So it is, you know, it's not set up for us because we can't be the same person day after day. Our typical like work day, it's more adjusted for that solar cycle. Mm-hmm. And so when we're trying to just put out the same things day after day, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. So there are different things that you can do, you know, different phases of your cycle. Like you just said, you had these phases where you had these high highs and low lows. You were probably ovulating. You were probably menstruating. You know, yeah. There's different phases where your energy levels go up and down. So much changes throughout your cycle. And Right. Science, it shows your hormonal fluctuations and that they affect everything from your mood, your hunger levels, sleep quality, thought processes, self-esteem. There's so many different ways that it can impact you. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. It's just knowing when those things might be happening can help you plan better. It can help you have more compassion for yourself. So when you have those low lows and you aren't super productive, it can be a better day for things that don't require such mental energy. And you can plan ahead for that so that you aren't, I mean, if you have a lot of work to do, you aren't really losing time. You're just planning around your phases in the way that serves you best. In terms of the science of actually honoring these changes, there isn't much out there, to be honest. Unfortunately, you know, just another thing, white cis men are the standard test subjects in research. So there's not a lot of care or thought given to our cycle changes or considerations of our cycles and research outcomes. So when things, when they explain the outcomes, nothing's ever separated by, you know, who's in what site or who's in what phase, you know, and women and people of color weren't even required to be included in studies until 1993. So you can imagine how much might not even apply to lunar bodies.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Yes.
And, you know, so while there isn't much out there on the science of honoring your cycle, there is science behind the recommendations of this concept. So yeah. For example, with cyclical nutrition, we choose foods that are proven to support what's actually happening in the body at each phase. So like I said, there's not much study on honoring the phases in that way, but it's like the reverse of it. Yeah. if that makes sense.
We took what we had and we figured it out.
Yeah. Like yeah. That's what we have to do. We have to figure this out for ourselves. And that's how a lot of people come to this work too, because you go to the doctor and you know you have all these problems, but your tests come out fine and they're like, it's all in your head. Or, you know, tests are good, you know, you're fine. And you're like, no, I'm not. I'm experiencing all of these things. So we end up having to figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah. I remember I was on birth control for a while in my early 20s. And I remember waking up one day and I had read an article about depression and how people were, well, I guess it was new to me at the time, but women who were on birth control had a higher rate of depression. And I was like, oh, maybe that's why I'm feeling depressed. And I like don't really know why, or like I don't have, and you know, not that depression needs an external trigger, but I remember recognizing that for the first time and actually starting to research birth control and be like, oh wait, I'm like not honoring what my body does by using this, and there are other ways to do it. And I remember going off of birth control, and that first month back was hands down the worst period I ever had. And like, I remember being at work and just being nauseous and like thinking I was gonna throw up. And I was like, wow, my body, I've like really been doing a disservice to my body by not actually honoring what it does and instead trying to just like stop what it does for convenience. And I think that's so common. And I dream of a world where when I have kids, I so desperately want to teach them about this and teach them that like your cycle is not something that makes you weak. It's actually, it can be used as a superpower. It can be used as something to support what you are here to do. You just have to learn how to do that. And I don't feel like we're taught that. I just went on a total tangent, yeah. But I just felt like that's necessary to say.
That's an important thing. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I'm not anti-birth control at all, but I do think it is overprescribed, especially for hormone imbalances, to use as a symptom management. And if you need it for symptom management, that's fine, but also make sure that you're targeting the root. Like, why are you having these symptoms versus just taking it and forgetting about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually just created a flow chart in my, so I have a membership program and I created a flow chart in there about birth control. Like, first question is, why are you on birth control? Is it for contraception or is it for symptom management? Do you want to stay on it? Yes or no? You know, just trying to figure out, like, just, or considerations and questions to ask yourself for figuring out if you want to stay on it. And if not, here's what you can do. And there's so much nuance around it.
Yeah.
But, and I do like what you said about depression is, like, of course there are other potential reasons, but a lot of it could be this too. So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah. I think at least when I was first learning about contraception, it was the easy way to do it. And so it was like, no one even presented the questions to me. It was just like, oh yeah, okay, we'll do this. And it wasn't even, there wasn't even a conversation of like, this is how it affects your body. And like,
yeah,
this is why these are things you have to consider and just be aware of. And so when I did start becoming aware, I was like, oh my God, I feel so uninformed about my own body. And I mean, I'm still learning a lot and there are still so many things that I feel like I don't know. And I think that there's just a whole world of knowledge that we are ready to absorb, I guess.
It kind of makes you think about, you know, the term informed consent. How informed are you really when you're prescribed this? I mean, I think I got it when I was 17. I'm 33 now. So I don't know what the research was like back then, but I know that I was not given that conversation about potential risks or, you know, just anything about it. It was just like, oh, you want birth control here.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. That's how mine was as well. So we talked a little bit about the science of it. Can you go through some of the different energies that come along with your cycle?
Yeah. And I know you wanted to talk about creativity too. Yes. So I can put those two together so you
please
can
do.
Utilize that. Yeah. So to do that, to maximize, I don't like to say maximize because I feel like, I don't know, I just don't like using the body in like a capitalist kind of way, but like to really like enhance your creativity. You have to understand both the menstrual cycle and the creative cycle so they can work in tandem. Or if you don't currently menstruate, you can use the lunar cycle. But either way, the point is to have a cycle, have a process, or have a creative process to allow each phase some space to breathe. So it starts with the follicular phase. So that's the first phase of your menstrual cycle. Your hormones are low at the beginning and gradually rise. And so as your estrogen's rising, your energy is too. And in the creative cycle, the first phase is initiation. So in this, if you also want to add the moon into it, there's the waxing moon phase. So just a little extra perspective on that. Everything's growing in this phase.
Yeah.
So your energy is rising. It's a good time for brainstorming, for planning, creating an outline for your project, just kind of like getting the bones of it together. And really it's the planning stage. Then when estrogen hits its peak in the next phase, at ovulation, that's when your energy is really in full force. And in the creative cycle, this is the growth phase. So when you're highly motivated to get things done, your communication skills are on point, you feel confident. So it's like the time in both of the cycles where you're just getting moving on your plans, on your intentions that you set in the previous phase, and you have all of the energy to get it done. And then the next is the completion phase. So that would be similar energy to your luteal phase. So post ovulation, you're coming down from that high. So you start strong, hormones are high, and then they slowly wane. So you can think of this as if you're launching something or, you know, just putting a project out to the world, you start with all that excitement of putting it out there. And it's really fun, exciting. You're still feeling kind of social, but then as the energy winds down, kind of the waning moon time, it's like time to wrap things up. You know, you've completed it, but that doesn't mean the cycle is complete. It's just, you know, you've completed the project itself. And then the final step is the one I think is often missed a lot. And that's the rest phase. So that mirrors your menstrual phase, the new moon. And it's assessment time, evaluating how things went in the past cycle, you know, what felt good, what didn't, what worked well for you, what didn't. And after you evaluate, then you actually take the time to rest, which is what I think most people skip over, you know, just taking some time off, allowing your brain some breathing room before you move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I am totally with you on the rest. It took me like 27 years to learn how to actually rest and learn that that is important and to not feel guilty about resting. Totally. So I think that's a huge thing. And then for somebody who is brand new to this information, like maybe they've heard about it peripherally, or they are listening to this podcast and they're like, oh my God, I have to pay attention to this now. Where would you suggest they start?
So you can just start, you know, paying attention to how you feel, ask yourself how you feel. And I, if you like very basic, you could just use pen and paper. You can write down what day of your cycle it is. So if you want to use a planner or a journal, and then day of your cycle and how you feel each day. It could just be one word if you want to. Mm-hmm. It can be that simple. If you keep track in a planner, you can start to see patterns over time. So what I do is I don't know how most planners work. I think in the very beginning of the month, it's like the month at a glance. You have the whole month in front of you. Mm-hmm. I use that where I track my word of the day every single day. So that way I can like easily flip back and see like, oh, how was I feeling on day 14 last time, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good to start seeing patterns. You can also use an app. There's like a million apps out there. If you are using an app, I would recommend turning off the prediction function if you can. I don't know if all apps allow you to turn it off. It's almost never right. Especially if you're starting out with no data, it's just going to confuse you. And it's better to figure out how you feel rather than an algorithm telling you, because one, the prediction's often wrong. And then two, if it tells you you're going to feel a certain way, that can kind of like make you feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
So I've never thought better about to that. Just,
I'm thinking now and I'm like,
yeah,
that app is like, you're probably going to feel energized today. And I'm like, I think I feel energized today. It's like, oh
yeah.
Did I feel energized?
Well,
I
so really on know. The, on the other hand of that, I used an app, which I really like, I like it, but there's just some things it's kind of negative sometimes. And mm-hmm. The first time I used it, it was the luteal phase, which is where PMS tends to come up. And it gave me a push notification that was like, the hellish flames of PMS await. And I was like, man, come on.
That's so funny.
If you get a notification like that, you're going to be like, oh shit, you know?
Yeah. You're going to be like, it's time for me to be crazy. Oh no. Yeah.
But so for funny. Apps, I like Kindara. That one's a little bit more advanced, but it does allow you to track a lot of different things. So even if you have no idea why you're tracking it, it's good to just track it. So you have a lot of data. So when you do finally understand it, you have some information to look back on. Also Clue is a good one. That one's a good gender neutral one, because a lot of them are like pink and floofy. So
yeah,
if that's not your thing. So Kindara and Clue are my two favorites, and both allow you to log how you're feeling mentally and physically each day. And again, there's a ton of data you can track, but if you're just starting out, you can just note your mood, your energy levels, and maybe any symptoms that you want to improve.
It's so interesting. And as someone who like just started that for myself, it's just so interesting what comes up of like, oh, I actually want to also be tracking this thing, because this I've noticed is consistent, and you start to like find your own thing. I think, at least me being the newbie here.
Yeah. How are you tracking it?
So my therapist actually sent me I've used apps for a while, but my therapist sent me a mood tracker that she uses for people. And she was like, you can change it, because it's just in a Word document. So I've been tracking like how many hours of sleep that I get, where my appetite is. And then I have like a list of different emotions. So I have like anxiety, I have work motivation, anger, and things that I just know are common or had noticed were starting to be common cyclical things. And then I also have things like loneliness, and did I do my morning routine? So I can start to notice like, oh, well, I felt really low energy that day and like really unfocused, but I also didn't do my morning routine. So like that probably played into it. So trying to just track things that I know are specific to me. And then I have like a note section of like, well, did something happen that day that spiked my anxiety that wouldn't necessarily be related to my cycle, that might just be related to life happening around me. So those are the things that I've been tracking. And then I also have and I've been tracking like what day of my cycle I'm on and all of that. And I have like at the beginning, it's like, all right, this is ovulation week. And it's like in big letters across the top. So that's how I've been doing it, and just pen and papering it. And there are a few things that I want to like add and change and shift. And I'm excited to see like what I discover. Like, this is going to be really interesting. I'm excited for you too. Thank you. I am not a cook by nature, and food, I tend to do what is easy, but can still be healthy. So I've been trying to line up some of what I'm eating as well with the different stages. And I have Alyssa Vitti's book in the flow, and she has a chart in there that's like, all right, this phase, these are some foods you should eat. And I'm like, great, that's easy. I can handle that.
Perfect.
So I've been trying to do a little bit with that. And I'm really excited for that, because it feels like I now don't have to really meal plan. I can just be like, all right, what can I make out of all of these things that like someone said are good to eat based on my cycle? But it's been fun seeing how just paying attention to it has shifted things. And we already mentioned this, but the compassion that I can have for myself, it's so different. And I think so many people, and especially people that I work with, who are starting to just learn about being mindful and learn about their own spiritual lives and how to honor who they are, there's such a frustration when they aren't consistent day to day. And it's like, God, if we had this information before we started being so hard on ourselves, I wonder what would be different. And especially coming from a theater background where I say background, like I don't still do it, but I do. like I took a dance class yesterday and I was like, wow, if I had taken this last week when I was menstruating, I would have been exhausted and I would have been so hard on myself and been like, oh, I'm so out of shape. I let myself go. I'm never going to book a job again because I, you know, haven't danced every day for the last 6 months. But in reality, like my hormones were different and class yesterday was fine. So it's like just especially for people who are in professional creative industries, I think when we don't honor these cycles, it's so easy to be like really damagingly hard on ourselves. And our self-esteem takes a big toll. So
yeah, that's a perfect example of like how there can be gifts and challenges to each phase. So the challenges come up when you aren't aligned and when you're not, you know, recognizing what phase you're in and what could pop up at that phase. So while, you know, if you're menstruating, that is a very inward time and a time to rest and a time where, you know, things are just calmer and you want to turn inward. And if you're not understanding that, if you don't realize that that might be happening, it could feel depressive. It could feel, you know, like, why can't I just get off the couch? Why can't I just do this? Why couldn't I perform at that dance class? You know? Mm-hmm. So there are challenges there if you realize, or if you don't realize what's happening. And I also like what you said about the dance class. That, you know, 1 week it could feel great, another week it wouldn't. But something to know, I think, is that, for instance, if you had that dance class scheduled every single week and it was something you wanted to do every week, you could still do it and honor your cycle by planning around it. So if you are menstruating 1 week and you have this like intense dance class, then the rest of your week you would know to like double up on self-care, right?
I love that. And I think too, I've been thinking about this a lot of like, how do we, especially like in the Broadway community where you have 8 shows a week where you're expected to run a 2.5 hour marathon, it's like, oh, how do we support ourselves and our bodies in doing that? And I think part of it is stamina that's just like built up over the years that like we've trained ourselves to do this. But I love what you said about knowing that you have to double up on certain things during certain weeks. So it's like, all right, if this is part of my job and I love doing this, I just have to be aware that I can still do this, but I can do it and support myself and not burn myself out or run myself into the ground. And it's so funny because as I'm saying this, I'm hearing somebody who I know who's dance captained a bunch of things on Broadway. And I was talking to him one day and he was like, well, yeah, like my daily routine, I normally like get up and I go to the gym and I do a workout and then I go and do the show. And I'm like, oh, that's so in alignment with his a hormonal cycle. Whereas for a female, yes, the expectation to go to the gym every single day and do a workout before you do a 2-hour show where you're literally just sprinting for 2 hours, like that's not in alignment with who we are. And so like, we shouldn't be holding ourselves to the same, I'm so hesitant to say we shouldn't be holding ourselves to the same expectations as the men in our industry, but
they're just different.
Yeah. It's just different cycles. And like, they're not going to give birth. So, you know, great. I know there's so many people on Broadway who I'm like, damn, you gave birth like 4 months ago and you're on stage doing this every night. Like, I don't know how they do that. It's insane.
Well, even if you wanted to work out every morning, you know, you could just adjust the workouts to your phase. So even if you did want to get up, maybe it's just stretching that day, you know, just letting your body lead. Maybe you're just in child's pose for half an hour, you know?
Yeah. I've definitely had those yoga classes where I go and I'm like, I'm going to just be a beast today. And yeah, then like, and we got through 5 minutes and now I'm in child's pose. Here we are. Yeah. Well, my last question for you, well, actually, before I say that, is there anything else that you feel is important information for people to know or that's like knocking at your brain? Like, please tell them this.
No, well, while you were talking about that, what I was thinking of is how people have told me in the past when I talk about this, that a lot of the advice seems very rigid. Like for something that is very intuitive, it feels rigid, which it shouldn't, you know, because a lot of the advice is just like, okay, at this phase, you have to do these things in order to feel good. But that's not always realistic. So just what I was thinking while you were talking about that was exactly what I kind of just said, I guess, is figuring out how it works with your lifestyle. So where, you know, what things can't you change and how can you plan around that to actually honor the phases of your cycle so that the things you can't change or easier for you to manage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you added that. So my last question is, if people are interested in working with you, learning more about you, or just following you in general, how can they do that?
Yeah, I have a membership program devoted to implementing this work. It's called Superpower Your Natural Cycle, abbreviated as SYNC, which I thought was really clever.
I think it's clever too. So.
Thanks. But we focus on different themes each month that help you embody each phase in different areas of your life. And enrollment for that will reopen sometime soon. I don't have a date for the spring just yet, but you can join the waitlist and get all the details for that at syncmembership.com. I also offer private coaching on cyclical living and also having a more intuitive relationship with food. I focus on hormone health mainly, also dismantling diet culture, all that fun stuff. And you can find information on that on my website at goodwitchkitchen.net. And if you just want to learn more and keep in touch, I have a podcast called The Lunar Body, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Good Witch Kitchen.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here and talking. This was so, so lovely. And I'm so excited to see all the people who are like, oh my God, I didn't know this is a thing.
Nothing is more exciting to me than when people figure this stuff out. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's so fun. And like, especially because I just had this, I've been telling everybody, I'm like, did you know this is a thing? Cause I didn't know this is a thing. Amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. And we will keep in touch.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Studio podcast. If you're interested in other course offerings or some free downloads, check out our free online community. There's a link in the show notes to join. And last but certainly not least, if you enjoyed the music at the beginning of this episode, check out the album Shadow People by our dear friends over at the Heartstrings Project. It was released back in December of 2020, and Deepak Chopra has already named it one of the top new albums of the year. That's all for now. We'll talk soon.